got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Welcome back.
You either go to church.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022. To Fred's point, it's James 5:16. I mean, that's, I would say, you know, in golf, there are what I call, okay, I can go now shots. You know, you hit, if you've played golf, you probably know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter if you just started playing or you are, you know, a 7 handicap. Been playing all your life, there are okay, I can go now shots. You hit one and you just feel it, and you kind of think to yourself, okay, I'm done, I can go now. I mean, it's not going to get any better than that. So, and that's kind of how I feel about what Fred said. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And so James 5:16, there is a sort of preface, and it is regarding prayer. Starts in verse 13 in the NASB. It reads, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? And this goes back to what I mentioned in the first segment of today's broadcast, the first segment of the first hour. So if you're not familiar, go listen to that. But is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church and there to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, setting aside the issue of, you know, the controversy over what is the church. I won't even get into that, but, you know, it's supposed to be the ecclesia, not the corporate 501c3 thing. I digress. That's a different discussion. Continuing, verse 15 says, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. So then we get to verse 16 that Fred was referring to. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Or in the King James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So that's what we need. And the softening that Fred talked about is what we need. You know, I had an experience with this personally yesterday, watching a guy dart through traffic, which reminded me exactly of the thing that I included in yesterday's my notes personally, which I haven't published yet. I'm, you know, terrible about that these days. I should publish those things. I do infrequently, which is not okay, but I had a note about a thing somebody wrote in a Facebook group in a small town in Montana, and they had this experience in in between small towns in Montana, basically, people driving like maniacs, and these people were obviously upset. And this is one of the big things. This is what's happening these days. That's one of the really, I think, sinister and insidious ways that evil works these days. You know, in traffic, there's the anonymity that allows people to really misbehave, to really behave badly without conscience, so to speak, because of the anonymity. And on the other hand, as a person being subjected to that kind of behavior, you feel somewhat, you know, particularly helpless because of the anonymity, because of, you know, what can you do about it? You don't know who it is. What can you do? You're trying to concentrate on driving, getting from one place to another safely and so forth, and yet someone is terrorizing you. And so that's a real psychological doozy. all by itself. But you know, there are other factors that play into it as well. So this is not, you know, if you've had bad traffic experiences, and for some of us, traffic is our greatest pet peeve, and I'm talking about myself in particular. It's my worst, probably, Achilles heel in life. And if anything will cause me to misbehave, if you know what I mean, it's traffic. And it's been that way for years, and I thought I had it wrangled. And it's like Nancy Missler said, you know, you never tame the flesh. You can create as many habits as you want. It just never happens. It's always right there waiting to rear its ugly head. So my experience next. First, the thing that I was going to share yesterday. So this person writes on Facebook. Now, this is serious. Serious is capitalized. Uppercase. This person writes, we just got back from Kalispell, from where there's the construction is. I mean, I'll read most of this in its entirety. Small towns. From where the construction is to the Hammer Cutoff Road, 9 vehicles passed us, and there was a long line with 9 vehicles who put many lives in danger by passing 6 or 7 cars at a time. A red flatbed older truck passed 10 vehicles all at once. The last one was a white, black, maybe silver late model Mustang. Oh my God, I am still shaking, and I've driven all over this country since I was in my 20s. Twice I thought we were in real trouble because you had to go slow enough to enable all those careless drivers to pass without killing someone. Killing someone is uppercase. We ended up all the way in back, which was fine, and we were still doing the speed limits. So to the driver of an old red flatbed truck, to the champagne-colored Chevy, large, slightly older SUV, to the dark blue Chevy Silverado with orange lights on top of his cab, and of course the white, black, silver Mustang. We got several license plates, and State Patrol has them now. I will gladly testify against any of you passing up to 10 vehicles at a time. Oh, and this wasn't just straightaways. No, this was on slopes near lakes. This was around the curves after you pass the construction. We couldn't slow because vehicles were right on our tail. We couldn't speed up because another truck was easily going over 90, and so the vehicle just ahead of us would slam on their brakes. I did not feel safe to slow down until we got to Hammer Cutoff, and there was already another SUV close to the back of my truck passing me because she saw my blinker. And then this is all uppercase, this next sentence. What is wrong with you people? That you have to be somewhere that it's important enough to put so many lives in danger. And I can't speak for anybody else, but I know I've felt that way many, 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 many times. Increasingly so these days, it seems. Because, well, just to finish, this was in a procession of roughly 20 cars ahead and 10 who just passed us. Two of those were RVs trying to climb the inclines. They did not pass. They were just trying to get up the incline. This was not an irritation, it was a threat to lives, exactly. And we got descriptions of your vehicles and license plates, and 911 forwarded on to Highway Patrol. So, you know, this is you know, gasoline on a 4-alarm fire. And so what happens? You know, people who are probably, you know, I think we're all coming out of the COVID nonsense, I think everyone's suffering from at least a degree of PTSD or shell shock. You know, if we go back and maybe we should play George Carlin, you know, Honesty and Language. I think there, you know, most of us are suffering from a form or a degree of PTSD. And so what happens, you know, think about someone who comes back from several tours on the front lines. I mentioned American Sniper the other day. What is the story that's depicted? And the reality is that there are folks who And I know you probably know some, I know some, who come back and it takes a while, if ever, to sort of readjust and be able to actually go out in public, because these kinds of things trigger horrible, violent reactions sometimes in folks. And by violent, I mean different things, not one particular thing. But I think we are all suffering from a degree of PTSD these days after what we've been subjected to over the last couple of years. And what we need is prayer and grace and mercy. So anyway, I had my own experience with this yesterday, watching someone do something very similar to what is depicted in the message that I just read. And, you know, I will just maybe go back in history. When I lived down in Los Angeles many years ago, the Los Angeles area, and worked at ADP, the payroll and tax company, giant of the world, I drove a 25th anniversary edition Camaro, and I remember, you know, things like, I had a sales manager who was amazing. This guy was amazing in so many ways. He was a genius, but humble, Christian guy. You'd never know it. His family parents were immigrants, but, you know, just super intelligent guy, Ivy League education, the kind of person that, you know, every guy wants to be like, I think, but not in a strange kind of way, not in a flashy kind of way, just really just an amazing person. He gave a sales training that was based on the theory of relativity one time, and it made sense. So, you know, the old adage that has been attributed to Einstein, you know, making the complex simple, he certainly had the ability to do that, which was, you know, obviously one of the marks of genius. Amazing guy. And we used to have these weekly sales meetings. And so, you know, I would tell him stories about, well, he was the person who encouraged me. You know, we would go out on sales calls sometimes together, and he would, if I was riding with him, once in a while he would stop next to like a grade school playground or something if the kids were out playing. And he would say, it's just really fun to watch the kids play because they're carefree, and it's kind of, it's like a boost, you know. It's like a, if you just sit and watch them and kind of live vicariously through them for a moment, so to speak, then it's an emotional uplift. And it's a joy to just watch them play for a minute and then carry on with your day. So I thought that was genius. And every once in a while I would do that. And I remember moments where someone would go speeding through a school zone. And on occasion, you know, I might follow somebody in my 25th anniversary edition Camaro, which obviously would scoot and be able to follow just about anybody. And I would stop behind them in the next place they stopped and get out and say, you know, you must be either pregnant or on fire the way you're driving. And driving through school zones like that is probably not smart, let alone just about anywhere else. You're endangering people, especially children. That's not fair to them. And so, you know, I remember sitting down at a sales meeting with this manager and, you know, telling one of these stories, and he would laugh. You know, this was Los Angeles, and so one time I told him one of these stories and he laughed and said, Hinckley, you're going to get yourself killed one of these days. Somebody's going to shoot you. So anyway, I had, you know, a similar feeling watching this person dart in and out of traffic and really endangering people yesterday. And then, you know, when we stopped at the light and we were sort of side by side, the old me would want to get out and say something. And, you know, I thought that's probably, I just had the thought, that's probably the last thing this guy needs. It's the last thing on earth this guy needs. He's already obviously stirred up. And so, you know, I prayed instead. And who knows? Who knows what'll happen? But, you know, I'm not against accountability. You know, this person who's saying that they, you know, the people who witnessed all of this insane endangerment of folks on the highway, you know, we got several license plate, several license plates, and State Patrol has them now. I will gladly testify against you. Accountability is one thing, but when we are further fomenting hostility, when we're fanning the flames of social unrest and those kinds of things, most of us, even those of us, perhaps you can identify with this, even those of us who see the color revolutionary seeds being planted and the gas, you know, poured on the fire, you know, that Huckabee speech that I always refer to that you can't find on the Council on Foreign Relations website anymore, even though it was there and now it's gone. It's still over at the Free Republic. Whoops, the pager you've requested doesn't exist. I'm sorry, Dave, that page never existed. But, you know, back in 2007, Mike Huckabee did say to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. This is, as I've always said since I've mentioned this, this is Marxism 101. This is Marxism in the most distilled nutshell I've ever heard. He said, before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. Strong middle class is the firewall. So what's going on now? You know, I mentioned today that Mika and Joe are having a field day with the January 6th congressional proceedings, the latest, you know, the day four fallout, shall we say. And so, you know, if anyone is the intellectual spark, I would say that Mika Brzezinski certainly is part of the ruling class. Hard to argue otherwise, if not impossible. A lady who literally said that, you know, our job is telling people what to think. So the ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. I would say in this context, the gentleman I saw in the car next to me is definitely, and I also, we are all the underclass in this context. Mika would be considered the ruling class, the spark. The underclass is the fuel. Strong middle class is the firewall. We've seen that go away, largely eviscerated in America. And so who knows what has this gentleman all stirred up, but he was clearly in a very agitated state as he was weaving in and out of traffic, endangering people's lives. And so, you know, there are different ways to handle this situation, but I think pouring gas on a fire, generally speaking, is probably not a good idea. And as I said recently, if you think it through, the critical end of fighting fire with fire is scorched earth. And that's probably not a good thing. I don't know. Maybe Brian and Jenna would disagree with me because, you know, scorched earth provides plenty of biochar, right? Being facetious. But seriously, it's probably not the best idea to pour gasoline on a fire. So then what do we do? What is the response? And so this is kind of why I am somewhat apprehensive to even talk about the news stories. These things aren't news necessarily. We've talked about this stuff on this network for quarter of a century. Stick around, we'll be right back.
TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Welcome back. Speaking of Mike Huckabee, the Mike Huckabees, the Micas, the Joe Scarboroughs, they are masterful at concealing the hidden hand or the unseen hand. Folks like Ralph Epperson, Dave McGowan, Daphne Caruana Galizia, Michael Hastings. And others are, Danny Castellaros and, Philip Marshall's, on and on. They are, the William Blooms, et cetera, the Peter Dale Scotts, the James James Corbett too, but what's his name? You know, Shadows of Power, James Perloff. These folks are masters of revealing the unseen hand. You know, the hidden hand, you know, that picture of Karl Marx, you can find it even on Wikipedia. How funny is that? The hidden hand. Hey, Karl, why is your right hand tucked into your jacket? Who takes pictures like that? Who would ever do that intentionally? I don't think I've ever, you know, unless it's accidental, but why is your hand in your jacket like that? Maybe in a pocket or something. So, some folks are masters of concealment. Others are masters of exposing this nonsense. And, you know, again, most people have no idea. I mean, you read Huckabee's speech, him talking about the Taliban, you know, the people of Afghanistan turned against the Taliban for the same reason. Wait a minute, who's creating these forces? I mean, what did Brzezinski admit back in 1998? Zbigniew, that is, not Mika. And, you know, so Huckabee said, very few Americans are familiar with the writings of Syed Qutb. Well, what, you know, again, where did Syed Qutb come from? And why does anybody know who this guy is? Kind of like Karl Marx, same thing. You know, why are Yale University professors like Paul H. Frey teaching Marxism? Why do kids learn about Karl Marx and Friedrich Nietzsche and Foucault and, you know, all these sinister characters? These, you know, the godless, literally. I mean, when you're talking about Nietzsche, you're talking about a guy who identified himself as an antichrist. What could possibly go wrong in a world where, you know, absolute power for the sake of absolute power is the ideological bent that these kids are steeped in? You know, you can go to Wikipedia, speaking of Syed Qutb. where is it? He wrote in his very first article in the literary magazine Al-Balagh in 1922, et cetera, et cetera. In 1932, when he was 25, in his last year at Darul Uloom. Wait a minute. Is that the same Darul Uloom that Philip B. Haney identified as the Tablighi Jamaat network, that is basically, you know, the Gladio B. COINTELPRO network? Is it that same Darul Uloom? That's interesting. You're not supposed to put things together, though. So, you know, Huckabee didn't do that, but he talked about Syed Qutb and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and so forth, but not in a way that, you know, not exposing the unseen hand or the eye in the sky, so to speak. Naturally, not that. You know, that the eye in the sky on the back of the dollar, or in the Total Information Awareness Office logo. Oh, wait, that doesn't exist anymore, right? No, it went public-private. It's a public-private partnership now. In Room 641A sort of fashion, you might say. Someone, you know, some people know, though. I noticed that there was a Twitter post. You know, a friend of mine observed recently that, you know, people who sign up for Grammarly, for example, are training the competition in simple terms. So I had a friend say basically that, and then I saw that the folks over at Centauro, which is an interesting name, renaming of Drupal Commerce, they said, one of the primary advantages of open source business software like Drupal Commerce is first party data ownership. If you build on Shopify, BigCommerce, or similar services, you're paying your future competitors to learn everything they can about your business. So I think that feeds directly into, in a nerdy sort of way, but it feeds directly into that modus operandi that obviously applies much more broadly. Speaking of that eye in the sky on the back of the dollar bill, what on earth does that have to do with the orthodoxy of the American founding? What does that have to do with anything in our American history? Do you remember learning in American history? Well, you know, the Egyptian pyramids and the raised cap, you know, what? What does that have to do with America? I digress. There are some stories I was going to talk about, you know, for example, Larry sends me this alien artificial intelligence. So vaccineliberationarmy.com, this article, AI, Google employee has, AI has become sentient. And this is, you know, propaganda from Google. I saw this article the other day on Fox Business. June 13th, I guess it was. Google suspends engineer following claims an AI system had become sentient. This stuff isn't news. You know, maybe it was news 25 years ago or so when Kurzweil published Age of Spiritual Machines. Maybe it was news when Bill Joy published his April 1st, 2000 article in Wired Magazine, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, quoting, you know, citing Kurzweil, citing Kaczynski and his manifesto. Maybe it was news back then. It hasn't been news for a long time, which is why I kind of, I'd rather, you know, work at peeling back the curtain on the wizard a little bit than just, you know, speaking to the news of the day. So that's the challenge, I think. One of the things that I did want to get to is, oh, I know what I was going to do. Speaking of all this nonsense, there was the article that I mentioned. Larry sent me the Under the Color of Law article by Andrew C. Wallace. And, you know, I've sort of talked around this for a while, but he raises a great point in his article. And so I want to sort of touch on that. In his article, he writes, Title 18, USC Section 241 and 242, majority of federal elected officials, bureaucrats, and judges exercise power under the color of law in violation of enumerated powers in the Constitution. And, excuse me. So he says, this is treason and violating oath of office and is punishable by death. And then he quotes, whoever under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both, and if bodily injury results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include the use, attempted use, or threatened use of danger of a dangerous weapon, explosives, or fire shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both, and if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years, or for life, or both, or may be sentenced to death. You know, but we've lost sight of these kinds of things in our hero worship. The more that you see kind of the inverse proportionality at work, the more you understand how terrifying where we are is. You know, the more people gravitate towards Stockholm syndrome, believing that, you know, that there is such a thing as benevolent dictator, when it's an oxymoron. In actuality, history proves. So Andrew Wallace writes, "My objective as a patriot writer is to inform people of the truth that is not readily available in the schools or media. In the process, I hope to help preclude armed revolt like the French Reign of Terror, which many think is a near-term certainty if nothing changes." And, you know, again, I think, you know, Andrew Wallace's background gives him a particularly keen insight into whereof he speaks. So he writes, "Elected officials, bureaucrats, and judges are enforcing laws that are unconstitutional because they are not authorized by the enumerated powers of the Constitution." And what is enumerated powers? Can you imagine? That word, you know, we could, maybe that's the word of 2022, enumerated. Probably not, but, you know, that's a word that more Americans should acquaint themselves with, I think. "They are ruling unlawfully under color of law." Anyway, last two paragraphs, and we'll get to the phones in a second, but he writes, "The Constitution under the enumerated powers allows federal government to only pass laws," only is uppercase, "only pass laws related to immigration, defense, foreign relations, post office, commerce, currency." The commerce is the tricky one, obviously. We've heard, you know, everything is legitimized under Article 1, Section 8, ostensibly, anyway. "Currency and some housekeeping functions. This means that a majority of federal departments, agencies, and related laws are unconstitutional usurpations of state powers, and their enforcement is under color of law." And again, you know, this is something, you know, you get into the fourth branch. That's literally what Senator Pat McCarran called it on the Senate floor in 1946 when Congress was passing the Administrative Procedure Act, which institutionalized this thing that he said was a fourth branch, these headless agencies that constitute a fourth branch of government, that the what was it, the Brookings-Brownlow Committee, I think, in 1937 wrote the report. I think it was the President's Committee on Administrative Management. And, it, you know, that was just another one of those surreptitious justifications. Look, we have this. You know what? Instead of abolishing these things that are unconstitutional, let's formalize them. Let's institutionalize them. That's a good idea. So Wallace goes on, he writes, "Our Constitution gave the federal government no police powers in the states, absolutely none." And this is, again, you know, speaking of his background, former Kentucky state trooper. And so, you know, interesting for him to be saying this. "Our Constitution gave the federal government no police powers in the states, absolutely none. Constitution specifies that federal laws are to be enforced by the militia of the several states." And what of that? And I have said many times, where is the militia? But to his point, he says, "But elected officials abolished the militia with the unconstitutional Dick Act, so we are left with the costly, corrupt, incompetent FBI, Justice Department, and judiciary." And I wanted to get into this yesterday and read this article, but I also wanted to sort of expound on his point about the Militia Act of 1903, also known as the Dick Act, and kind of, you know, go from there, basically, to from Wikipedia, the Militia Act of 1903, also known as the Efficiency and Militia Act of 1903, or the Dick Act, was legislation enacted by the United States Congress to create an early National Guard, and which codified the circumstances under which the Guard could be federalized, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, from there you go to National Guard, and that's interesting. You know, the militia is supposed to be, you know, the militia of the several states, and the founders, I would say, unanimously, for practical purposes, agreed that the militia was every able-bodied man from 18 to 50. That's not here in America. The National Guard, well, that's the military, right? Yeah, that's why the website is, what is it, nationalguard.mil? They're not the volunteers so much as they are the regulars. Well, it's a gray area, Chris. It's not exactly this or not exactly that. Well, you know what? Gray is bad. It falls into the purview of continuity of government, which is the next direction we go. We head toward continuity of government, which was a discussion for many decades, you know, say going back to the 70s, coming forward to September 11 in particular. And even Wikipedia says in the U.S., COG is no longer limited to nuclear emergencies. The continuity of operations plan was activated following the September 11 attacks. But, you know, here's an interesting hint, speaking of peeling back the curtain. COG was developed by the British government before and during World War II to counter threats such as that of the Luftwaffe bombing during the Battle of Britain. You remember when Churchill bombed his own people, that kind of thing? But it wasn't ultimately Churchill, but, you know, he was still culpable, that kind of thing. So, you know, the British government developed COG. Wasn't there something that happened, I don't know, around 250 years ago or so, that something, I distinctly recall something like, you know, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for the, you know, one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them to another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station. I remember something along those lines. Can't quite put my finger on it. Anyway, so, you know, now this is what we have. And so the point is, before we go back to the phones real quick, backing up slightly, there's much more to say about this, obviously. But, you know, the one point that I wanted to make, the nuanced point of clarification, I guess, is just so we're all aware, I think one of the things that escapes most people's attention, why are elected officials always saying you don't need that to, you know, for hunting? And this is why, you know, the Militia Act of 1903, also known as the Dick Act, that Andrew Wallace mentions in his article Under the Color of Law. So what could possibly go wrong? Are you kind of seeing forces coalescing here? Now you don't have to worry about the militia. You know what? We'll take care of that. And then, you know, slowly, this is a process that had been at work, you know, in the Reconstruction era after the Civil War, and actually before. I mean, coming out of the Civil War, you see the roots of this. I mean, even Wikipedia mentions this history. During the 19th century, the militia in each state, U.S. state and territory, operated under the Militia Acts of 1792. Was that continuing, which was extended by the Militia Act of 1795, 1792 and 1795 acts, left the question of state versus federal control of the militia unresolved. Isn't that interesting? There was no question, because one of the central tenets of the American founding was separation of powers. In consequence, the federal government could not consistently rely on the militias for national defense. That's patently false. For example, during the War of 1812, members of the New York militia refused to take part in operations against the British in Canada, arguing that their only responsibility was to defend their home state. And there's more, but you know, as a result, starting in 1812, the federal government would create volunteer units when it needed to expand the size of the regular army. These volunteer units were not militia, though often they would consist of whole militia units, which had volunteered en masse, nor were they part of the regular army. And so, you know, there's more, but you can see the intrigue and deception building to say, to have some kind of, again, surreptitious justification to say, we're not safe. So, and now, what do we have? The National Guard is essentially, well, as Wikipedia says, the National Guard is a jointly active, a joint activity of the United States Department of Defense, composed of reserve components of the United States Army and United States Air Force, Army National Guard, and the Air National Guard, respectively. So I would call that continuity of government. Anyway, to the phones we go. Pat in Texas, right?
Oh, hi.
Yes. Good morning. Welcome.
Thanks. The Dick Act in 1902 is a federal law that invalidated all gun control laws in the U.S. It is also known as Efficiency of Militia Bill.
Yep.
That's the same one you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What they do, just call it the same thing and because you didn't say 1902, did you? You said 18-something, did you?
No, I mentioned several points in history, but I said initially it is officially referred to as the Militia Act of 1903.
Okay. I remembered something about it, so mm-hmm. I looked it up. What I really called for? I get in trouble all the time because I don't know what to tell. I don't know what to say because the guy that comes on at midnight, they pays $1,000 a month to 5 days a week to talk about the Bible. He says if God gives you any more so, it's your duty to share it. And then I hear a caller saying, this is not a theology. People should, and you say, this is not Sunday, but it is Wednesday, Chris. I mean, you know, people go to church on Wednesday. Could we give him one day, another day?
I'm not saying we shouldn't give him a day. Again, it's a Romans 14 thing, and I think every day is his personally. That's my conviction. I'm just saying I don't want anyone to feel like this is a broadcast where I'm trying to sneak up on anyone or anything like that. This is history. You know, I'm just trying to say this is what's going on mm-hmm. as I see it. This is not supposed to be a Sunday school lesson per se, because I think that would be disingenuous.
I think your position. I think that you should work for Trump when he comes back. He needs you.
Yeah.
Forget the church. Mm. They're going to argue about everything anyway. I wanted to talk about the part of the Bible that talks about speaking in tongues, because I really got harassed. I won't say where it was, but it was a blog, okay?
Well, that might not be applicable to today. We might not have time for that in today's broadcast. It's sort of kind of
today's. But the point is that it exists. I mean, this guy said, well, if you go there and say, I drive a tractor, and you call it speaking in tongues. But he didn't want to hear. But
right.
My son had some trouble beside the road. Like, he was like a few inches from semis blazing down the road, and with a flat tire on that side of the road, he could feel the rocks were hitting him. Okay. And he told me, and I tried to wake anybody up. Nobody's up. So I just spoke in tongues. I mean, I don't know what I said. And I tried to get this guy. There's a book, Jamie Buckingham, I think. There's several of them. You can get them on thrift books real cheap. And he talked about standing in church right next to somebody who's speaking in tongues. And he looked at the guy and he said, "Did you know you're speaking perfect Russian?" Well, no, he didn't. But God did.
Sure. And the Bible speaks to that. Places like 1 Corinthians 13. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammie, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I don't know.
Welcome back. Final segment. We can talk about tongues later. And we got to get back to the phones. Pat, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Much appreciated. I welcome the opportunity to talk about speaking in tongues later. In the interest of time, actually, first, before we go back to the phone, speaking of radical forces trying to systematically destroy the U.S., you know, that commercial. Speaking of the Militia Act of 1903, Charles Dick is the namesake of his eponymous Dick Act. And according to Wikipedia, you look at the Wikipedia entry today, Dick was a Scottish Rite Mason, Odd Fellow, and Knight of Pythias. If you are familiar with the Knights of Pythias, they're named after Damon and Pythias, and, you know, Pythias was accused of plotting against Dionysus. And so, anyway, the history is interesting, provocative, shall we say. Back to the phones, Anthony in Arizona, Pastor Anthony Joseph. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
First of all, all talk shows are basically censored, and they have a time delay to where certain truths are not allowed to be out. And my observation is that talk shows are really just sell products, and they don't really want the full message up to what's going on in the country given to the people. And I want to ask, first of all, do you have such a time delay on your cast? Because it'd be worthless for me to speak to you about what I know, because it'll be shut off, and then I'll just be talking to myself.
I'm not aware of a time delay. I mean, we have a slight delay, but, you know, not, I don't think, to the extent you're speaking of. And not for some nefarious purpose that I'm aware of, but we're coming to the end of the broadcast. I know that.
Well, in 1840, I will dig the name up for you, who was the man that said that he would destroy the United States and work his plan, and it dates back to a man by the name of Adam Weishaupt.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he would destroy the nation, the religion, and the family.
Mm-hmm. That was a part of the Illuminati 6-point plan. Yep.
Because he claimed they were the killers of the master architect.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the family, the nation, and religion.
Mm-hmm.
As I recall, he was a professor at one of the Catholic
Ingolstadt.
And he was speaking heresy, and they fired him. Mm-hmm. And the money people who controlled the Federal Reserve got him put back into teaching there again, and he did just what he said he was going to do. He destroyed the family, the nations, and religion.
Yeah. All right, now, that's the end of the broadcast. We are out of time. Thank you, folks. Hope it was informative. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.